morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom. What a lovely day.
It's a bit grim, but yes. We had a wonderful meeting yesterday with lots of people from across Newcastle churches, and there was, I think it's a bit of a strange feeling right now, isn't it, amongst everyone. There's expectation, but there's cautiousness. There's fatigue, but also energy, and it's just a funny little time, isn't it? Do you feel those things? Do you feel both fatigued but full of life? Because I know I do, and it's a bizarre thing to feel.
I think it's an interesting period of time, and I think there's some excitement about what God's going to be doing. Mm. I think, you know, it's good to check back on what's been happening, but also to look ahead as well. And we're sort of caught in this middle world now, aren't we, I think? And I think it's that's probably the strangeness, adding to the strangeness of it. This liminal state. I'm sure I talked about that last week, but this having left a place but not having arrived at a new one yet, and we're in this place of liminality. I think I don't know whether that's even a word, but it's liminal anyway.
Are you drawing comparisons between that and our passage for today, Tim?
Well, I think there's so many parallels. It's quite amazing, really, isn't it? And I think it was interesting. Sort of deciding on Joshua, because I was, you know, it was one of those that you think, is this the right series for now, or is it not? And you look around other churches to see what they're doing as well, and you think, well, nobody else is doing Joshua, but but anyway, let's see. So, but no, I it's certainly something that has captured my imagination a little bit, and I hope that's resonating a bit as well with those who are listening to it. Not everything will, of course, and we're all in different places, but God's word speaks, doesn't it, you know? And I'm sure that it's speaking powerfully to many people at this particular time. And of course, we're doing the Bible course as well, aren't we, at the moment, on a Tuesday night, so seeing the bigger picture of Scripture as well and seeing where all this fits in is quite fascinating, isn't it? And we've just finished the Old Testament, haven't we, in 5 weeks, which is amazing.
Joshua's been and gone from the Bible course.
I know.
It was a very
quick visit. He just had a
visit.
Little bit of a bit part, didn't he? He wouldn't have even got Best Supporting Actor, would he, in the Oscars? Because it was like he was quickly gone over. But he's there, and it's a great story. And I think because, you know, the name Joshua in Hebrew is Yeshua, isn't it? Which is Jesus, really. It's the translation of the word Jesus. And so there's definitely something very significant to understand as he sort of leads the people of Israel on into their new place, their promised land. And seeing how that fits into God's big plan is quite a fascinating story.
So today we're following on from your wonderful talk at the weekend, where you brought in some stones and talked about all sorts of different things. Tim's shaking his head. Is that the wonderful part or the?
There was a lot of things, wasn't there? Yeah.
It was really good, and it's great to be able to study some of these bits of scripture together. You know, this is one of the big moments in the Bible, I think. This is one of, when you look through the history of the people of God, this is one of the big climaxes that we see. You know, the Israelites waited 40 years, but now they're there. Now, can you imagine what it must have been like to finally stand in Canaan? I guess I'm thinking of this almost like the feeling when me and Becca moved into our first flats together. You know, that feeling of, you know, we've made it. We've unlocked the door to our place. This is ours. This is where we are. We planned for this. We had to sign lots of paperwork and spend lots of money on a big party to get to that point of doing it. But we finally stepped through the front door together, and it was like, wow, we're here. Mm. We've made it. You know, the full
brilliant. A bit for me, it was like AFC Bournemouth going into the Premier League. To be honest,
yes. Except the people of
didn't 6 years ago.
Yeah, the people of God didn't leave a couple of years later. But anyway, that's a difference.
Hey, five years coming. And I know, you know, I must give tribute to Stoke City, who beat Bournemouth at Bournemouth last Saturday, having mentioned Bournemouth's win at Stoke earlier in the season. I think I humbly have to say well done Stoke City for beating Bournemouth on Saturday.
That win really did an awful lot for their place in the league table though, didn't it, Tim?
It didn't change anything, did it? But come on Stoke, you can make it next year, come on.
So we see the Israelites here at this is God's promise to them. They've kind of finally made it. And, you know, last week we talked a bit about the amazing miracle that God had performed, which very much had parallels to the way that they first left Egypt all those years ago. God rolling back the waters of, well, God stopping the waters of the River Jordan a long way upstream. If you missed all of that, listen to our podcast from last week where we explained just quite what a monumentally mammoth task this was of getting a million people across the river with some very large social distancing happening between them. And then we come to this point where Joshua turns around and says, right, 12 of you, get back in the river. But why is that then? Why were they told to go back in?
Very confident, wasn't he, Joshua? And you were saying earlier, Tom, about how you... when you read these early chapters of Joshua, you see a bit of a change in his leadership, don't you? From, you know, stepping into Moses' shoes, you know, probably a bit tentatively and needing reassurance from God, you know, be bold and courageous from chapter one. And now he's very directive, isn't he, in being, knowing what God wants him to do. So, yes, sending them back in. It's an interesting moment, isn't it? And one that I think we mustn't underestimate, this fact of God just pausing them a bit through after all the restrictions they've had. You would expect them to just fly into the new place and just get on with it, you know. But God just wants them to just take a moment, because remembering what has happened is really, really important, isn't it? And I think, again, you know, what a parallel to us. And I think remembering, what would they have remembered? I think they would have remembered maybe their failure 40 years earlier, although that generation had died off. I think they would have suffered great losses during the 40 years in the wilderness, wouldn't they? All of them would have suffered family bereavement, all of them.
The passage says that there would have been we know there would have been very few from generation one who were still there from who would have still been there to finally cross. Moses certainly wasn't, of course. The great leader who wasn't exactly the oldest man in the world when they left Egypt. And now here he is. Now here he isn't for this monumental moment.
And I think grieving the losses is really important. And I think, as I was sort of getting ready for preparing, I think that really came to me, because a lot of the time we do try and, you know, keep optimistic and you know, everything's going to be all right, et cetera, et cetera. And that is important, because we have to trust God. But I think it sort of just jolted me a bit of how important it is for us to just pause, you know, and grieve some of the losses, the things that we haven't been able to have this year. Now, for some people in our congregation and for people that all of us know, they have literally lost people during this year. People have died who have been part of their families, and it's been a very difficult year to sort of grieve that. And then for others of us, you know, we've made mistakes this year, and or you know, we've had to cancel things, or maybe jobs have gone, and you know, there's all sorts of reasons that we're having to leave behind certain things. And so, and I think this was a moment God just saying to them, come on, we just got to wait a bit, and we're going to remember what hasn't happened as well in those 40 years, as well as what has happened. Not so we stay there and get stuck there, but so that we learn from that time. And I think the stones, you know, the stones from the middle of the river is really an important exercise for us all, I think, at this time, that we too might need to set up a memorial, you know, whether it's a literal memorial in our garden or just a personal memorial or a journal memorial, to acknowledge what has gone on in the previous, for us just a year, for them 40 years. And it's interesting in the text, isn't it, Tom, that you were pointing out just now, that maybe there were two sets of stones picked up from the middle of the river.
Yeah, well, that certainly is the way that I read it here. I mean, to take going into the text in verse 6, when Josh was talking about the first lot of stones, that each of the people who he'd chosen, one from each tribe, was to take up a stone, and this is verse 6, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? And this is after the stones have been piled up in the middle of the Jordan. Verse 7, tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And so, yeah, what we see here is this first symbol that stays in the River Jordan. And these stones would have been big, because they were going to be able to withstand the floodwaters that were going to come. We know there are floodwaters. A couple of weeks ago, we heard about the floodwaters and the fact that this river was not a small river like the Lime Brook or anything like that. This was a big, fast-flowing river during flood season. And so these stones, in order to have not fallen down, must have been substantial stones. And these would have been effectively created into a tower. It may not have been 12 stones, one on top of the other, of course, but if it's going to be higher than floodwater, they must have been pretty high to be able to be seen above it. And that's kind of what we see in this moment for this first set of stones, that they're something for the Israelites to point to. And to say, look at these stones. When you walk past them, remember what happened. Remember how God looked after us. Even when the waters of life are flowing so high and fast, and it looks like nothing is going to be able to stand in the way of the waters that are going by, you see the rocks in the middle of the river, the stones standing tall and firm. And it was a sign, it was a symbol for them to be able to pass down from generation to generation of God's goodness and the way that God had looked after his people during one of their great moments of need. But then, as you said, we see this second lot of stones that are gathered. Now, these stones, this first lot, the passage says that they're to take up. So we see in verse 3 that they're to take up stones, but then there's this other lot where they're to pick up the stones that are already in the river and make a tower of them in the river. But we see this second lot of stones that are told to be picked up and taken with them to the place where they stay tonight. Now, we know that that was on in the town, and you pronounced it properly earlier. Gilgal? Is it Gilgal?
Gilgal. Yeah, sounds and good.
They took this second lot of stones with them as a reminder, or maybe not even a reminder, of something that they were to take forwards with them, that they were to carry and put where they now were going to. So we had a something to look back to of the past, a memorial that showed God's goodness then, and then we have this second tower that's been made at Gilgal, where it's a sign for them to be able to look at and say, this is where we've come to. And it's just a fascinating little thing that I guess I hadn't really picked up on. I hadn't really noticed that there were multiple pickups of stones, but there are. And it's God saying a couple of different ways of, this is why you remember, this is why it's important to remember, but also this is where we're going. This is the way that we're, this is the direction we're traveling in, and this will be a sign of things to come too. It got me thinking a bit about memorials that we have, don't we? Very famously, there's the World Trade Center Memorial in America, which I would still love to go and visit as and when we're able to. More closely to home, there's the Hillsborough Memorial up at Anfield, which I have visited on numerous occasions. And that is a great opportunity to go and be there and just remember what happened before.
And the National the National Arboretum obviously isn't far away, and I know many people will have visited that and seen the extent of the remembrance of those who gave their lives during the war as well. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
And I think if some of these things, though, you have to remember that if you were to walk past them every single day, they would be the sort of thing that would lose significance for you. They would be something that we might take for granted, or you just even say... I'll use the example of the Hillsborough Memorial to Anfield because I know it very well. But if I was to, you know, go there every single time I went to a football match, I think it would probably lose a bit of its significance. But what you do get then is if you sort of go back occasionally it becomes more important. And for the people of God, I think this is partially why the stones were left where they were. They weren't carried from place to place with them. They were left there, but they weren't left there for no reason. It wasn't just that they were in the middle of absolutely nowhere and no one was ever going to see them. They were there as a lasting reminder for generation after generation after generation. And I'm not suggesting for one moment that pilgrimages would have taken place to these, but these would have been places that people would have visited as a lasting reminder and something that would have stayed significant for God's people. They'd have known that at the River Jordan there were these stones, and they could well have taken their children to it to have seen God's promise to Israel that he would keep them safe, that he would look after them, that he would bless them. And so, you know, this got me a bit thinking now of what memorials do we perhaps need to set up in our lives to remember all of God's goodness. And some of it will be that when you have a great moment of praise, when you've seen God work, tell someone. Tell someone about it. Share it with just one other person to be in with. You don't need to be sharing it from the front of church or anything like that if you don't want to. We'd love to create time for testimonies, but just share it with somebody. Share it with one other person and just use it as an opportunity to share God's goodness with other people. Kind of create your stones, and as someone walks past them, tell them about them. Explain to them why those stones are there and what the stones are in your life. What moments do you look back on and say, God was with me in that moment. God, I trust you because of that. And I know for me that that's a huge thing for my life in terms of my faith journey. And the way that I can trust in God is through a number of moments in my life when I have seen God visibly move in my life. And it's those moments, they're the ones that give me that confidence in God. The day-to-day walk is something completely separate to those big moments that we see, like we see here with Joshua. For all of the times God had looked after the Israelites up to this point, this was a next level kind of moment, isn't it? And the Ark of the Covenant held the Aaron's rod, it held some manna, it held these big things. But this is another one. This is another massive moment.
And it was the Ark that carried on with them. The stones stayed where they were.
Yeah.
But the Ark carried on. The presence of God went with them into that new place. And I think that's really important. Yeah, that it's that double edge, really. There is a real time for remembrance and pointing, you know, what do these stones mean? You know, is the question the children would ask. When your children ask you what these stones mean, then this is what you're to tell them. You know, recount the story. And when people look at my life and your life, what does my life mean? Well, it's a story of God's goodness and faithfulness towards me through some difficult times and challenges, of hanging in there with him, of lamenting, of grieving, but also of the presence of God in those moments. So what does my life look like? What are people seeing in me? What are the questions people are going to ask when they see my life? And it gives great opportunity to witness to all that God has done. The simple things, the everyday things, as well as perhaps those moments when God has been just that bit closer, and when we've been closer to him as well, to acknowledge his faithfulness towards us. So, yeah, it's a very powerful reminder. And we're not very into symbols, are we, anymore, you know, to building altars, but there's definitely moments when we need to build those in our lives, figuratively or maybe even something in our house or in our garden that just reminds us of God's goodness and faithfulness to us. It's good. It's a good story, and one that we'll continue to tell as we move in this Sunday as well into chapter 5. So the story continues and the people continue to sense God's presence at work in them as well. Excellent. Any more thoughts, Tom?
I can think of an awful lot of things, but not things that generally link to Joshua chapter 4.
But if you're listening and you have got other thoughts on this passage, then please, please do let us know what those thoughts are. We'd love to give you a shout out and name check in future podcasts. And if there's something that God has been sort of just stirring in you through the passage that we're reading or through the Joshua story or anything else that's happening in your life, we would love to be able to share that. If God has been doing something new in you, let us know, and we will, you know, we will would love to convey that as a sign of what God is doing now in your life. So it's that good old email address that we keep telling everybody on a Sunday, inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk. Write something down to us and send it in, and we'd love to be able to convey stories of what God has been doing in your life through this last year, the things that perhaps you've been lamenting or grieving, and also perhaps what God is nudging you towards for the new beginning as we move forward as well. So do let us know, inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you.
I should have said, when you said, is there something else I wanted to say? We should preface this by saying we'd love to say we plan these podcasts meticulously, and they often sound like they do, but we genuinely don't a lot of the time. We talk about what we've looked at in the days before. I suppose I'm drawn to the prayer, the answered prayer wall. We'll have to talk about that another week. Yeah. But if you want to do a little bit of a search, then I think that's probably one of the equivalents of what we've got now, isn't it? Of what we see in this story, memorial stones. That's a memorial to the Lord in our land that's being built as we speak. I think they've begun to build it. So that's something Brilliant. You can search yourself. Yeah. The answered wall of prayer that's popping up somewhere near Birmingham, and it's going to be absolutely wonderful to see. It's been wonderful to be able to talk to you today, Tim. I think we should close in prayer for today.
And perhaps just a reminder that Ascension Day this Thursday, which is tomorrow, actually, and the Global Prayer Initiative, Thy Kingdom Come. So do have a quick look at that and maybe get started tomorrow morning with the Ascension Day prayer that you'll find on the thykingdomcome.global website as well. So let's pray. Father, we're mindful that there are times when we miss what you're doing, or we don't pause long enough to remember and give thanks. So today, we just stop. Thank you for your faithfulness towards us in the past. Thank you for those times when it's been tough, those times when we've been able to rejoice, those times when it's gone smoothly, or those times when we haven't known which way to turn. May each of those moments be a stone, a rock in our lives, not to get stuck on, but to use as a moment of remembrance, but also to move forward. And I pray that your name would be lifted high as your people give you praise and acknowledge your goodness. Pray for those who are listening who perhaps are still stuck, who don't have an answer. And I pray that you will come close to them, fill them with your spirit, reassure them with your presence. And may you work out your purposes in our lives, I pray, as we keep our eyes fixed on you. Pour out your blessing upon us, God. Thank you for your word. Living, powerful, transforms us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a absolutely wonderful week. And we'll see you on Sunday for the next part of our Joshua sermon series, Joshua chapter 5. I was going to get Tim to give you a quick preview of it, but unfortunately that might make our podcast 18 plus. So you'll have to come along on Sunday to find out why we're saying that. But God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.